we went to doctor, and Thursday, thank you, Rosie, for driving me. It's a long, she was tired, but I couldn't help her. And she won't let me drive long. Can drive around the city and stuff, but you see, I have not driven anywhere long as yet. But she did it, and I do appreciate it, because I would not stand here because of, you know, without her. I've been through a lot. It was a lot. It's like you were so far that you feel like you were gone and you don't care. I wasn't worrying, but I just like, would I ever get back? Would I ever walk again? Would I ever get back to Bradenton and walk the steps when I saw the and those brothers going up the steps? All that was in my mind. And to see God took me back. And then I went to the doctor. They took x-rays. And when the assistant and different ones came in and talked to me, and then finally the doctor. And that doctor raised his hands in me like he was praising the Lord. And he says, the man upstairs did it for you. That's what he told me. He told me, he said, it's the man, because when he looked on the x-ray, and he said, that's good. And he showed me the before and after. He says, this is where you were. There was nothing there. Sister Rebecca, there was nothing holding my, you know, body together. And when I saw that, if I had to stay until August, infection would have killed me. Because I saw a man, you know, I saw a man there, we became good friends. And he's going through the same. But his problem is that he has, what is he, a bad circulation and all kind of stuff. And his feet is getting mushy, you know what I'm saying. I'm not going to describe it, but they're afraid to do the surgery because it's a 50-50 chance. And I felt so sad because I know what he's going through, because I've been through that. And he encouraged me, said, you're going to get up sometimes and you feel pain. And I do, and stiffness, rain, you know. But he said, just keep stretching. You have to stretch, which I have not been doing much. But I need to get, you know, to stretching. He told me, said, I'm. Then he was so excited. He said, tell him what he said. He raised his hands and he says, when he saw me test me walking and test me laying down my leg, he did. And he said, I don't have to see you for 4 or 5 years again from now. Didn't he say that? I've never seen a man so excited. He was happy. And he said, it's upstairs that did it for you. He gave God the credit. And it just truly was God. So, plus, you all pray, and I thank you. Because you're a good church. And that's why I take time to encourage you. Didn't I encourage you all this morning? I was good to you, didn't I? Just to give a fatherly talk to save the assembly. So God is so good, and I appreciate it. The Lord for all is good. Thank you for the support of Sister Rosie. That we're going to Africa. We have missionary offering to give. Can't just go and walk. You have to put a good offering from our church. And that's things that we have to do. Plus, I told Rosie, I said, you have to pay the tithe from that into the Facebook missionary. That from that. To reach out some more. Can you imagine if we, each one of these blogs, and you send it around the world? You'd be surprised to know the places where we've gone. Brazil, Colombia, Argentina, yet Peru, all those places. You wouldn't believe it, would you? Africa, we have it moves up 40, up to 45 years now. Those are the high. It's peaked up there. So God is good to us. People are reading. And they give us the response, you know, the chart. You know, high and low, when you're raising funnel, they want to see that line goes up for the age group, they pave it off. And show even Merced. They show us the response, who's listening here in Merced. So people are out there listening. So you never know one day. All right? So I tell you enough of that. So pray for it. I believe that by the time the week is over, by next Sunday this time, we could be 750,000. Because we're 712,000. That's just math quick. If you're 712,000, how much more to go to 50 from 12? No. That would be 40 something thousand. What? But anyway, so you see that from 750,000 people listening to this, what we're saying here. And people don't the block, they don't want to come, they're too impatient. I'm not worrying about that. 750,000 people is listening. Amen. So I thank God for his goodness. All right. Amen. Should I preach today? Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. The Lord is good, isn't he? Last Monday we were in the Bible class last Monday, and we covered some good lessons. There was one that if you can remember, I just want to use that scripture about obey those that have the rule over you. In Hebrews, was it Hebrews? We had that chapter 13 in Hebrews chapter 13. Remember, Sister Adrian, you read that scripture? And obey them that have the rule over you. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. But put that up so we can and read that. It said, obey them that have the rule over you. That's the ministry. And obey, then submit yourselves. And there's a reason why. It's not because they want to have the boss, the ruler command you, but it's a command of God, because there's something that they have to do. For they watch, you know, they're guards, watchmen. You say, well, it's my business, don't pry in my business. No, that's not true. That's not true. You have no business that hidden from God. Said, for they watch for your soul. When they tell you don't do that, it's because they know that will destroy you. It's not because they hate you or are against you. For they watch for your souls. You see that word soul? Not just your body, but your souls. They watch for your souls. You see that word souls? That souls come up again. And I saw souls in Revelations. And they were beheaded for the witness of Christ. Is that those souls that came under obedience to the word of God. So he says, obey those that have the rule over you and submit. Something was said or come against something, you don't fight it and kick it and try to, you know, you submit and obey that which was said. You change your spirit, change your mind. You don't try to change it, but you submit to it. You submit to that word. You submit to that instruction. Why? It said, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. You know, an account for your souls. Yes, Lord, she or he did obey, or he or she did not obey. What are they watching for? Your soul. Someone must watch for your souls. You said, I watch it myself. No, it's a pastor, it's a ministry. For the watch for your souls as they that must give account. You know, like a bookkeeper and spending out. You do, and you have to give when you buy or the purchase, you have to write down and give an account. Right? You have to give an account to someone. So you are God's property, and somebody must give an account to God for you. Why were they lost? Well, because they wouldn't obey the word of God. You have to give an account as to their spirit, their actions, how obedient they are. Or they might say, yes, Pastor, but like the young man says, oh, Father says, go and plow. Says, one says, yes, but he didn't go. One says, no, but they went after. See? But it's better to say yes and go too. Not no and go, but just say yes and go. For the watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy. Praise the Lord. What an obedient brother. What? You see that brother walking in there? You know, right now, he's going to be straight to you. He's not going to spin you. You can go anywhere, and they're just on guard. They don't wait for pastor to leave, and then they, woo, we're free. I can do what I want to do now. That's not right. See, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. It's not a joke. You're not even charging yourself. As they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just like I told you, my doctor with joy. He was happy that I was feeling well. I was much better when he saw the x-ray. He wasn't just going by my word. And then he tests me and he says, just keep stretching. I'll see you in 4 years or 5 years. That made me feel good. Said everything. And they, and it goes on, they must give an account that they may do it. Here's the point. With joy, it's going to be done. It's going to be done. But how is it going to be done? With joy and not with grief. You know, when grief, if you want to know what grief is, you let somebody die for you. That's close to you. With grief. For that is unprofitable, not for the pastor, but for you. You're the loser. Really. I mean, the pastor missed your face, missed you doing and cleaning up and when you should have for a while, but you're the one that permanently eternally lost. Okay? And next verse says, pray for us, the ministry, because we have a hard job. Pray for us. That when we have to tell somebody the truth, they will still serve God. They'll still raise their hands. Because sometimes when you speak the truth, they pout. I want to hear that. Lie to me. Don't tell me the truth. Tell me the right. Tell me what I want to hear. Then he's not a pastor. He's not a minister if he tells you what you want to hear. If he preaches the message that you want. Pray for us, for we trust. We have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. And that's what Christ is coming back for. He's coming back for a church that's righteous, that's holy. Amen. Do you know that God has a plan for your life? That you don't have to fight or do anything wrong? It will come. If you have to fight for something and push for something, it's not God. It's not God. Because what is God is meek, peaceable, gentle. But if you have to violate the word of God to get it, you think about that. Because God cannot sin to get something. When he died on the cross, that was righteous. That was righteousness prevailed. God couldn't, his son had to be straight. But you see, there's something called the blood of Jesus. See, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. Because all of us have done wrong and sinned. We slip and slide, but there's a thing called repentance. Lord, I'm sorry. See, repentance, I was hearing a preacher this morning, and he said that this great educated bishop came to the church, small church, and he was, you know, the people kind of look up to him because he was came from a large church. So, but his words was going over their head. So he was explaining something about repentance, but they couldn't get it, what it means. He could not explain it. They couldn't understand from his term. So he said there was a little black man. No, I heard that. He said a little black man was sitting in the back, not educated, and he raised his hand and said, Reverend, said, I think I understand what you mean. So the reverend says, go ahead and tell me. So he got out of his seat and walked down the aisles, and he kept saying, as he went forward to the pulpit, he was going and said, he said, repentance, what it means is that as he walked on, I'm going to hell, 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 I'm going to hell. And he reached the pulpit. So he said, then he stopped. Then he turned around. And he said, now I'm going to heaven, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to go to heaven. Then he turned around. You get it? So he walked back to the pulpit and said, that's what it means. That's what repentance means. You're going to hell, you're heading one way, and repentance means you just turn around the other way and go the other way to go to heaven. So I just thought I'd tell you that. You don't have to put an offering in for that one, but that's what it means, a change of direction. Everybody, all have sinned, but you change your direction. And you say, no, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I want to serve God. So you take, that's what the scripture is. For they must give an account. The account is that, Lord, they were all going to hell. We were all going to hell, but we made a turn. Amen. We changed direction. That's all it is. And I made a mistake. I sinned, and I asked God to forgive me, and I turned around. And start doing righteousness. And the multitude in Revelations, I saw a multitude. Look at Revelations chapter 7. You remember that multitude? Here's what happened. In the 7th chapter of, somebody help me read it. Verse 9, this great multitude that came through the great tribulation. And after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. Something happened that we don't have time to go into right now. You can read that. I beheld a great multitude, which no man could number. Of all, notice, nations, kindreds, people, and tongue, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands. Now, this was the group before the tribulation. They were going to hell. Most of them was going to hell. But they went through the tribulation, and what happened? They turned around and began to go to heaven. A great multitude. Yeah. And it says, verse 10, and cried with a loud voice, saying, what were they saying? Salvation to our God. Follow this, visible. Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and before the Lamb. So you have the Father, and you have the Son, the Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. But read on, says, next scripture. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God. What a scene. Now, if you look at it, you have a great multitude that no one can number. Those are all redeemed human beings, because angels is not redeemed. Angels are spirits. If we have time, we'll go there. So this great multitude now, in verse 12, saying, Amen. That means they acknowledge whatever God did or does is right. Amen. And amen. Okay. Saying, Amen, Lord. Blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving. Look at all the honor. And you want to know, you want to talk to God, instead of begging for natural things, why don't you give God something? Why don't we give God blessings? Why don't we say amen? Why don't we say, I believe that. I accept that, Lord. I'm going to make the changes. I was going to hell, but now I want to turn around and go to heaven. I was going in the opposite direction, but I want to go in the way of the throne where I can stand before you with the great multitude saying amen. Blessings. And remember now, if you don't say it, he's still going to have the crown. And you will be saying something somewhere else. But I want to be there saying blessings and glory, read, and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto, hello, be unto who? Not just God, but our God. Do you have a God tonight or today? I said, do you have a God today? Can you say blessings? Can you say amen to the word? Can you say, Lord, you're right. Whatever you do is right. Amen. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to follow you because you are right. So, amen. Come on, amen. Blessings and glory. And honor and power and might be unto our God. For how long? Forever and forever. Amen. So let it be. Next verse says, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, who or what are these which are arrayed in what? White robes. Now, it doesn't mean that they all had on a white dress or a white suit. No, but the white robe was the righteousness of Christ. They were now clothed with the first not the first Adam, but the last Adam. They put off the robe of the first Adam, that unrighteous robe, and now they were clothed with the robe, the garment of Jesus. They had changed, like Zechariah tells us, the priest there in Joshua, the high priest, take away the filthy garment from him. He had on filthy garments, and Satan was there to resist him. As long as you have on the garment of the first Adam, Satan will resist you. But when you begin to cast off the works of darkness, cast off the acts of the first Adam, what happened? What happened? He washes you whiter than snow. And they were clothed in white robe and says, who are these? Who are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? From where? Where? Why, then it tells you before that they came through great tribulation. But let's read on and see the questions is answered. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. John said, I don't know that much. See, because John had gone on ahead, but there was a group that came. And he said unto me, look, read on. He said unto me, what? These are they which came out. Read on. They came out of great tribulation. Are you following that now? These are they that came out of great tribulation. And have washed their robes. the tribulation make them repent. They wash their robes by repenting, by changing direction from where they were going that kept them in the tribulation. They were not worthy to be taken out of the tribulation, but they went through, they had to go through to get rid of that Adamic nature. And through the tribulation, they washed their robes and made them white in what? In the blood of the Lamb. Remember, the blood was always available. But they would not wash. They would not get clean. The blood was always available. Revelation says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins with his own blood. I can get washed today. I'm finding out that I can go as far in God today as I want to. You know why? Because the door is open. I am the door. I am the way. The way is there. And come unto me. He said, come unto me. And I can go. If I believe him, come unto me. And not only that, but he's drawing me. He's drawing us. And washed us from our sins in his blood. Okay? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes. Now the robe is the first Adamic nature. You've got to get rid of that. They have to be washed in the blood. There's only one way it can be cleaned. No other source. You can wash, but you're not clean until you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and have washed their robes and made them white. Hey, white robes was given unto them. How does white robe come to you? By you washing. It's not something handed to you, but it's something that there that you have to apply the blood. You have to apply that blood. And they overcame him in Revelation 12, the devil. See, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And you do not let the devil dirty up your garments. The devil will soil your garments. He will spot it up. So when you stand before the Lord, then we have on garments that are spotted by the flesh. But all of that has got to be washed. Even Jude said, hating even the garments that's spotted by the flesh. You have to wash unto him that loved us and free us, washed us from our sins in his own blood. Amen. He washed us in the blood of the Lamb and made us white in the blood of the Lamb. Verse 14. See 15. Therefore, here's the reason why. Here's the reason why you stand before the throne. You could not and cannot be before the throne of God unless you're washed. Amen. Come on, read that. Said, therefore are they before the throne of God. There's no other way that you can get to stand before God unless you're washed in the blood. Unless you put off the whole man, put off the old nature, get rid of it, crucify that flesh. I'm dead, I'm crucified. And nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Jesus has to come alive in you. You've got to get rid of the flesh. We've got to get rid of the works of the flesh. I don't care whether you say amen or not. That's good preaching. Okay, the flesh profit nothing. You've got to get rid of the flesh. You cannot take the flesh in the house of God or the kingdom of God. You've got to put it off. Put off the whole garment. You said, are we there yet, Matt? We're trying. We messed up, but you washed it. Said, oh God, I'm sorry. Please wash me in the blood. That's the blood. That's the only garment. See, a pastor cannot wash you. Your mother or father cannot wash you. Your children cannot wash you. Your cousin cannot wash you. Your uncle, aunt, nobody. They cannot wash you or get you out of hell. Amen. It's only the blood. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ. There's only one way to stand before God. It cannot be done any other way. Nobody can change it. And God's no respecter of person. There's only one way to go through God, and it's the way of holiness. It's the way of the kingdom. It's the way of the blood. That's what it says. Therefore, why are they? Because they washed their robes. Somebody told them that they had to wash. And Naaman, you remember Naaman didn't want to wash. He said, I can go back home and wash. No, that's not the way. I can go back to my own country and fight in deliverance. No. He said, go down to death. Go down to Jordan. The river Jordan speaks of death. Go down there and dip 7 times. Hallelujah. You've got to get in the blood. You've got to get in the flow. And Zechariah says that in those days there will be a fountain open in the house of David for sin and uncleanness. That fountain is open today. That fountain was taken from Emmanuel. That's the blood of Jesus. We used to sing that song. There is a fountain. Remember? Filled with blood. Sister Linda would know that. I know you would know that. Don't know about the other people. But in that day, that's the day we're living right now. Okay, it's there. But many of those would not wash until the tribulation. It took the tribulation and the fear of death and hell for them to jump in the pool. Hey, you got to get in the fountain. Not just looking around and trying to go around it. No, you've got to go. They came out of great tribulation, but they went through the blood. It's the blood of Jesus, the cross. It's through the blood why we are washed, why we are saved. Salvation is by the blood of Christ. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but it's according to His mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration. Even nature tells you that. If you don't take a bath for a while, everybody is going to know. Amen. Everybody's going to know. And you wonder why they're running. But what about in the spirit? If we don't take a bath in the blood, we can never stand before God because we smell. We smell of the world. We could never get there. But it's unto, therefore are they around the throne of God. Why? Because they did what God wants. What's supposed to be done is to be washed in the blood. That precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, I wish somebody could say amen. I wish somebody would cry out and say, wash me, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Because He's a merciful God. Therefore, they're before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne, wow, shall dwell. Notice one, not just visit, but dwell among them. God is going to dwell among us. But everything has to be clean. He cannot see any unclean. So that's why we have to wash in the blood. Verse 16 says, and they shall, notice, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. You know why? Because the government shall be on his shoulder. And he's responsible to take care of his children. What a God. Amen. For the Lamb. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne. Where is he? Who is the Lamb? Who is the Lamb of God? Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He is the one that's coming back to establish the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Right now, the will of God is not being done, not even in the church. There's rebellion. And we won't do it. We don't want to do it. We want to change the order of God. But let me let you know something. God is still going to have a people that will work right. I don't care how far we go. The kingdom of God is going to be established and be forever and ever. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them in living. Notice, unto living. Notice, not dead old church like you go to some dead church. You know, you ain't going to do nothing with a dead church, with a dead message. Huh? You're not going to do anything with just telling people, oh, you're going to get a gold watch. Yeah, well, what about their souls? Huh? Oh, you believe God for a house. But what about the living house, that your temple? Ain't the temple of the Holy Ghost? Listen, you might just have a little shack down here and a little cardboard bed to whatever. You don't have very much. But let me tell you something. There is laid up for you, my friend, a crown of righteousness that fadeth not away, that you will receive when the Lord returns. So this is not all that you have right here. You might not be very rich. You might not have anything. But he who fed the sparrows and clothed the lies of the field is your God. And he said, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. For the Lamb, somebody ought to shout. For the Lamb, somebody ought to praise God. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God, hey, listen. And God, somebody say God. God's going to get his big old handkerchief and wipe away all tears from your eyes. Well, God's going to mop it up. Down here, you've been crying and you've been sorrowing. But we weep not as others who have no hope, because we know that God is going to take out his big handkerchief and mop and dry up every tears. And he tells you there that God will feed us and lead us to living fountains of water. And God, somebody say God, even our God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. My God will wipe it away. Our God will wipe the tears away from our eyes. No more weeping. No more crying. Come on, Sister Cynthia, you'll never have to cry anymore. But you will joy and praise God. Amen. Because of the kingdom of God. Because the Lamb of God is in our midst. Praise him. Come on. Praise him. No more sorrow. No more pain. No more loneliness. No more sickness. Amen. Amen. Next verse says, that's it. What a verse. What a verse. And that picks it up over in Revelation, tells you. No more. 21st chapter, 22nd chapter. No more weeping. No more crying. You know why? Because there's no more dying, no more suffering, no more pain, no more rebellion. They came through great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood. Look at that. In the blood of the Lamb. That's the multitude. That's the multitude that came through the blood. Now that blood, that cleansing blood, the blood of Jesus Christ redeem us and cleanse us from all our sins. The blood. There's no cleansing without the blood. I don't care what somebody say. You're just and you try to do good. You go right back in the pit. Amen. The pit of the fallen nature of Adam. But it's the blood. Amen. And then you commit yourself to him that is able to keep you. To do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Because we are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus, a new creation unto good works. He creates us unto good works. So the Lord is awesome. Did you get something today? The Lord is beautiful. The Lord is wonderful. So the message, the word of God is to lift you up. That's not even where I was going. But the word of God is to lift you up and to build you up and to encourage you and to show you the way. It's unto him that loved us. Isn't that amazing? And washed us from our sin. Now, what does he wash? Not just your body, but is your soul. Because that's where God dwells, in your soul. Because I was, I'll get onto it another time. I'll get onto it. But anyway, let me have a couple of minutes here.